He was just a little boy out on a week's first day. He was headed home from Sunday school and dawdling on the way. He scuffed his shoes into the grass. He found a caterpillar. He found a fluffy milkweed pod and blew out all the filler. A bird's nest in a tree overhead, so wisely placed on high, was just another wonder that caught his eager eye. A neighbor watched his zigzag course and hailed him from the lawn, asked him where he'd been that day and what was going on. "I've been to Bible school," he said, and turned a piece of sod. He picked up a wiggly worm, replying, "I've learned a lot of God." "Very fine way," the neighbor said, "for a boy to spend his time. If you can tell me where God is, I'll give you a brand new dime." Quick as a flash, the answer came, nor were his accents faint. "I'll give you a dollar, mister, if you can tell me where God ain't." Sounds to me like our little Sunday school boy might have heard the same gospel passage we are hearing today, a passage that shows us the everywhereness of God. As the gospel reading begins, Jesus and his four companions are leaving the synagogue as the Sabbath has begun. They are leaving a public worship setting where Jesus has just healed a man in front of those gathered for worship. They head to Peter and Andrew's nearby home, where Peter's mother-in-law is sick and in bed. And Jesus goes to her, visits her at her sick bed, and heals her. And then after sunset, which is to say after the Sabbath has ended, all the people who heard about the miracle Jesus performed at the synagogue start gathering outside the front door. So Jesus has brought the power of God into the synagogue, the worship space, which in that time and place was the purview of men, and then to a house, which in that time and place was the purview of women, and to the sick bed of an aging Jewish woman, and then to the very public open space outside of the house. Jesus practices the everywhereness of God, no matter where he goes, no matter who he meets. The marginalized are restored to their rightful place, to their ability to live and work and participate meaningfully in family and community life. And after private prayer time with God, Jesus will practice the everywhereness of God in other towns and villages throughout Galilee. While Mark's gospel never calls Jesus Emmanuel, a title we associate with the stories of Jesus' birth, it is the baptismal story in Mark that inaugurates how Jesus embodies God with us. The heavens are torn open at Jesus' baptism. The Holy Spirit, wisdom of God, finds a resting place in Jesus. And Jesus comes up out of the Jordan River and goes forth into the world, showing us how God is with us in worship, and God visits us at home, and God comes alongside us when we are troubled or when we are sick or when we are on the road. God is there, whether we are in the midst of family like Peter's mother-in-law, or in community as with those brought to the door of Peter's house, or all alone like the demoniac in the synagogue. Perhaps for Mark's audience, this was not new knowledge, but an expanded, a nuanced articulation of the belief in the everywhereness of God. Foundational to the faith, both of Mark and Jesus, who were raised in the Exodus experience of God's people, God delivered the community from slavery in Egypt and led them for 40 years through the wilderness. God didn't skip ahead to wait for them in the promised land, hoping they would stumble upon it. And God didn't disappear, but remained with them, appearing as a pillar of smoke and a pillar of cloud. God accompanied them through the dry valleys and the rocky mountain peaks, through the Red Sea and across the Jordan River. God was with them in their unknowns and in their liminal spaces, with them through seasons of fear and doubt and challenge, as well as the times of faith and assurance and trust. Centuries later, The prophets declared the everywhereness of God when the people faced the years of exile. It is seen most clearly in Ezekiel, where God's described as God on wheels. God, a heavenly being who can see in every direction, and the wheels of whose chariot can pivot and therefore go wherever the people go. The psalmist, too, declared this everywhereness of God. We spoke these words together a few minutes ago, words that give hope and embrace promise. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And so Jesus makes clear in a new way what people have believed all along. God is with us, wherever we go, whatever we do. God is here with us when we worship together on Sunday mornings. God is also at home with us, and not just when we are at prayer, but also God meets us when we step through the doorway and out into the world. God is with us when we get into our cars and go to gas stations or grocery stores. God is with us when we tour the art museum or gallery. God is with us when we share lunch with a friend. God is with us when we are ill, when we are depressed, when we are lonely, and when we are in the company of friends and family, and when we are rejoicing. Jesus shows us what life looks like, abundant, healthy communal life when God is present with us. And so I'll match that little boy's challenge. I'll give you a dollar, friends, if you can tell me where God ain't. Amen.